is actually a pair of readings from the book of Acts, 13 and 14. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And then from chapter 14. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had completed. When they arrived, they called the church together and related all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there with the disciples for some time. All of us, I imagine, have had role models in life. Growing up, I had several. On the one hand, I had people close to me I admired, people I looked up to and who I wanted to be like. My parents showed me how to be faithful as parents and spouses, and most importantly, as followers of Jesus. Other role models were a bit more distant, both in time and in space. One of my early desires was to be an astronaut, and so people like John Glenn and Neil Armstrong were role models, and I looked up to other leaders in history as well. Later, as I came to understand and embrace my calling as a minister, my role models were two of my pastors, Jimmy Dunn and Tommy McDeeris, and one of my seminary professors, Cecil Sherman. I have been blessed to have many good examples to follow in my life. These men and women have shown me how to deal with hardship and stay true to who I am and to the values that have been instilled in me. They have modeled for me appropriate behavior and encouraged me as I tried new things. And many of them, the ones I knew personally, spent time and energy with me so that I could learn and grow. When I wonder how to deal with a new situation or need a word of support, or just consider how to face the day ahead, these are some of the people I think about and learn from. Those who are still with us in this life, they're on my speed dial. I call them often. They've inspired me and showed me the way I should go. I'm glad to have these role models in my life. I hope you've had some good ones as well. If our church were to have a role model, and we probably should, there could be no better church than the one in Antioch. It is the most consistently heroic congregation in the entire New Testament. It's the church that gets it right more than any other. There is no word in Acts that the church in Antioch had substantial divisions. There is no evidence in the text that they are stuck in the mud or of tradition, or that they are wandering too far afield from the established center of the gospel witness. They are pushing the boundaries and being innovative and sharing the gospel and serving God's kingdom. But they are also faithful to the witness of the apostles, and they are concerned about the teaching of Scripture. Over the course of the passages that we read earlier, we get a pretty full and rich picture of what the church at Antioch was like. And it's the sort of church that we and all churches should strive to be. Antioch was a sending and a supporting church. It started with the very birth of the church, for Antioch was born as a church that looked outward, not inward. As the first believers from Jerusalem that were scattered in the wake of Stephen's martyrdom and the persecution that followed, many new churches sprang up. Yet only in Antioch were these early missionaries thinking outside the box in the most fruitful ways. Only there was the gospel preached to Gentiles, people who were not Jews, people long considered farthest from God. These Christians who arrived in Antioch, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, were told, they had a heart for the lost. They weren't looking for a place to gather with people who thought like them already and worshiped like them already and who already believed as they did so that they could be comfortable. They were looking to bring the good news of salvation to people who needed it desperately, but who had not been able to hear it before. One of the key marks of a healthy church, a church like Antioch, is that it's outward-looking from the very beginning. The gospel is not a collection of secret knowledge to form walls around a private club of faith. The gospel is a revolutionary message that says we can be reconciled to God. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we're from. It doesn't matter what we've done. It's a message of hope in the midst of a despairing world. It's a light in the midst of darkness. And it's not a light to be hoarded. As Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. A city that's built on the hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The whole point, or at least one of the major points of God calling people to follow Jesus and form a church like Antioch or like Grace Hills, is to be that light for those who don't have it. Antioch shows us from the start how important it is to be other-focused, to want to go to share and seek out the lost so that they can hear the gospel and they can experience God's blessings. If we want to be like Antioch, then that needs to be part of who we are continually as well. Now, the Lord blessed the work of those first missionaries in Antioch, and Acts tells us that a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. Word of this filtered back to Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to investigate. He was so thrilled by what he saw that he sent for Saul, the man we know as Paul. And they stayed there to teach and to encourage the church in Antioch. They were there for an entire year. It was important that these new Christians were not just abandoned after their choice to follow Jesus. They needed support and tending as they grew. They wanted to grow. And Barnabas and Saul, among others, helped them grow in ways that honored God. That growth was something that others noticed. In fact, we're told that the followers of Jesus were first called Christians or Christ-like in Antioch. I wonder sometimes if we really want to take this element of the Antioch church to heart. Many of us have been people of faith for years, if not decades. We've sat in Sunday school classes for 40 or 50 Sundays a year, year after year. We've heard most of the stories of the Bible before, even if we don't always remember them. And so it's easy to skip Sunday school or Bible study and now at the drop of the hat, or even worship. It's easy to justify not reading a new devotional book or ignoring our daily quiet time or not spending time in prayer and in singing praise to God. Eventually, if we do that, we will find that we ourselves are not growing in faith. We'll still have the same faith that we had as children in VBS or as young adults newly married and attending church seriously for the first time. Those are wonderful things to experience, but we can't stay there. We're called to grow because if we don't, it's dangerous. Not only for you and for me as individual believers, but for us as a church. Everything that Antioch did later, everything that made possible their mission, their support, their spread of the gospel, it started here with the careful growth of new believers. They learned the ways of Christ. They internalized the teachings of Jesus. It changed the way they looked at the world. And so they were prepared when God put opportunities in their path. Are we equally prepared? Are we experiencing the spiritual growth we need as individuals and as a congregation? If not, may Antioch be that role model for us, reminding us of how important it is to be people of study, people of prayer, people who are growing in the way of Jesus. Then we're told that at that time, the time when the church has been growing and developing in its faith under the instruction of Barnabas and Saul, at that time they found out about a need. It wasn't just a need, it was a humanitarian crisis. There was going to be a famine, the church in Antioch was told, a famine that would be felt in all corners of the known world. Antioch would feel it. Rome would feel it. Alexandria would feel it. Jerusalem would feel it. And hearing this dire news, the believers in Antioch started asking, what does God want us to do with this news? I can imagine some of the voices in the room. One might have said, thank God for this warning. Now we can stock our own pantries and look after our own needs. Someone else might have said, this prophet from Jerusalem, can we really trust him? Maybe it's not a true report. Maybe it's fake. Maybe it's a hoax. Still someone else might have spoken up and said, well, God really wants us to focus on telling as many people as possible about him so that if they die in this famine, they'll at least be saved. Can you imagine these things being said then? Can we imagine them being said today? I can. But ultimately, none of those were the response of the church in Antioch. The disciples were told in Acts 11. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. The people in Antioch knew that there would be hardship on others, perhaps even greater than on them. After all, the Jerusalem church was already being persecuted. And in times of need or crisis, the persecution of religious minorities increases. So with generosity and sacrificial giving, the church in Antioch provided for the needs of others. Like Antioch, our church exists in a world that is full of need. A couple years ago, I went to Ghana to distribute mosquito nets to save lives from the disease of malaria. I went supported by this church, and we distributed nets that you had paid for. And I honestly believe we saved lives. But it was hardly the only life-threatening need I saw there. Many of the children I saw were malnourished. Women, especially in rural areas, face a crushing life of hard labor and little ability to stand up for themselves. The life expectancy in many parts of the region of Ghana I was in was about 60 years. Are you over 60? And that's just in one region of one relatively peaceful country in one tiny corner of the world. We look far and wide, and we see needs of hunger and thirst and education and abuse and violence and war and disease. And right here at home, we see much of the same. It might present itself a little differently, but we still have those same needs. What are we doing about it as a church? If we're like Antioch, if we're like our role model, we're going to try to meet those needs as best as we're able. And finally, we find that the church in Antioch was generous in yet another way. They were willing to share not just their resources, but the talent and time of their leaders. Acts 13 starts with a picture of the leadership at Antioch, the people who were teaching and guiding the church to be a beacon of hope and light and mission that Antioch was. Things were going well. And it was at least in part because of these five prophets and teachers. It would have been easy to close ranks, to demand that these gifted men, in this case, pour all their energy and effort into the congregation in Antioch and never challenged them to consider the pain and suffering of others. But that's not what Antioch was like. Antioch wasn't a selfish church, an inward-focused church, a consumer church. The people there weren't part of the church for what it could provide for them. They were there because they wanted to be part of what God was doing in the world. Not just in Antioch, and not just in the area around them, but everywhere. And so when they sensed the Spirit calling Barnabas and Saul to go off on a missionary journey to plant churches and to spread the gospel, the church at Antioch didn't complain, and they didn't throw up barriers. They didn't even send them off begrudgingly. We're told that after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. They laid their hands on them. They blessed them. They sent them with their blessing. And when Barnabas and Saul got back and gave their report, the church in Antioch rejoiced. If Antioch is to be our role model as a church, then we need to be a church that doesn't just allow members, whether pastors or not, to go out on mission here at home and abroad. We need to encourage it. We need to expect it. We need to support it. That's one of the reasons that Antioch was so vibrant. Its leaders and its members were engaged in the kingdom work of God. Isn't that what we're about? Isn't that what we're doing here? If it is, then we need to be just as supportive of those who go on mission as Antioch was to Saul and Barnabas. And we need to celebrate the work God accomplishes through our own who participate in the wider mission of our Lord. At the end of the day, Antioch is the perfect role model for our church or for any church. They are focused on God's work, not on their own comfort. They're a church committed to the gospel, even when it's difficult. They were a church that wanted to grow in faith, not remain stagnant in what they already had. And when they saw a need or heard the call of God, they were willing to give their resources, to release the people in the church who had gifts of their own, to respond to that need. It's because of those traits of sending and supporting. Well, that's the only reason we know about Antioch today. 2,000 years from now, could the same be said of Grace Hills or of any other church we know? I hope it will. So my prayer today is that we will be a church like Antioch. A church that's committed to God's mission. A church that's seeking to grow in faith. A church that sends and supports, whatever the cost of God's call. Will we be the sort of church that others can look to and say, we want to be like Grace Hills? Can we be a role model?